meditation on Sunday mornings when we were going through the book of Luke about not being covetous and not worrying and not fearing God, not fearing man. And we looked at a lot of different things. We built a foundation. So last couple Sundays, or last Sunday and then this Sunday and on the 31st, we're going to go through and look at a couple other things that's important to steward. We did look at our time. Today we're going to talk about stewarding our thoughts. You know, we live in a life, in a world, especially, I thought it was really appropriate for this time of year that, you know, we are so busy. And I mean, so busy that sometimes we don't take the time to think about the right things. Let's look here, and I'll explain that a little bit. Philippians chapter number 4, let's look in verses 4 through 8. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know that many people are excited about upcoming activities and events. And Lord, that sometimes during this time of year, it's very difficult and hard for certain people too. Lord, in our lives, you've given us opportunity. You've given us a certain amount of time. You've given us a certain amount of things to be able to think on, a certain amount of things to, it's just a gift that you've given us. It's life. And Lord, I pray that we give that gift back to you, Lord, by being and doing with the things you've asked us to do. Lord, in this study, I know it's important because I know it affects my heart about focusing on the right things and thinking on the right things. Lord, I pray you encourage the people that are here today. Lord, I pray that you use this message and these verses to work in the hearts and minds about having good thoughts and, Lord, about not being overcome by things such as stress and worry. But, Lord, but with you, we can have peace, peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's a couple things I want you to think about. We read Philippians. Anybody ever heard the phrase, a mind is a terrible thing to waste? Yeah, I mean, that's something I think it came back from in the 1970s. It was an advertisement. I think it could be used today. Lots of times people, kids are there and they're playing their video games and they're on their technology all the time and they're just doing worthless things. That's not what we're talking about this morning. It'd be easy to preach against playing too many video games to you guys. You guys would all say amen because you probably... I probably play the most in the room, and I don't play hardly any. So I only play with my sons every once in a while. And it is right. It is a terrible thing to waste your mind by occupying it with useless things. But I like to approach this idea of wasting our mind by overuse. Now, we're not talking about overusing it by studying our Bible too much and memorizing too many scriptures. That's probably not the case in anybody's life, at least not most. What we're talking about is directing our energy toward pointless circles of fear and worry. If the peace of God, which offers us, is neglected with stress and anxiety, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to have the right thoughts. So think about it. What if the peace which God offers us is neglected while stress and anxiety flood our thoughts and eat away at our minds? I thought it was a really great thing to think about when it comes to especially this time of year when we're supposed to be focused on the one who came and as we learned about last Sunday morning, tasted death for every man and how he conquered death and he pulled us out of bondage and all those things. When we're supposed to be focusing on that, so many times worry and stress has just eaten away at what God really wants us to have and what God really wants us to experience. So there's a couple things I like for you to think about. We'll get to that in a second. I want you to think about the stress that we have today, about handling stress. You know, we do live in stressful times. No doubt, part of our difficulty is that we've filled our lives with so much. And it's filled up to capacity where we crowd out sometimes relationships, crowd out time of rest, crowd out time of just thinking on the scriptures. We often like to blame ourselves because of the fact that it's just a day and time that we live in. And when that author wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, he did not know what it was like to live in the 21st century. You can't spend all your time rejoicing. It's not like back in Bible times when that's all they had to do. We got, you know, social media, we got this, we got that. How can a person do that? Well, you compare the stress of today and what we put upon ourselves with anxiety and worry that God really does not want us to have. He tells us to let your moderation be known unto all men. He tells us to be careful for nothing. He wants us, if you consider the stress that we put on ourselves today versus the stress in the first century, they were two completely different things. But think about what it would be like to be a Christian in the church of Philippi. You go all the way back to Philippi, and they were not very appreciative of Paul at the beginning, especially. And in the Roman Empire, what happened to Christians? They were persecuted. They were put to death many times. They were, to be a Christ follower means that you were hated. Now, could you imagine that stress? Hey, I'm going to go to church maybe in a secret location, and if they find me, they might come and drag me and take me away from my family and take me away from... Imagine that stress that must have been there. And Paul is coming, and he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, he's not telling a group of people that have no stress, that have no obligations, that have no problems in their life, look, you should always be happy. That'd be easy for us to tell kids that, right? You know, actually, sometimes kids nowadays have a lot of stress. But, you know, he's talking to a group who is putting their life on the line by just saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And he is telling them there is a way that you can steward your thoughts, and there is a way that you can rejoice all the time. And there's five things I want you to show you here today in this idea of stewarding your thoughts. He comes and he gives us these five verses and says to them, "I want you to do these things." And as we do these things, our life will not be filled with the worry. Our life will not be filled with the anxiety. Our life will be filled with the thoughts that God wants us to have. And how much of our time do we spend wasting our time on things we don't really need to think about? How much time do we spend worrying about things? And the devil, who is our enemy, has spent so much time trying to get us not to rejoice, trying to forget that the Lord is at hand, trying to say that we got to accomplish these things on our own, and these are the things you need to think about. But Paul says, think on these things. Our thought lives is probably, in my mind, one of the greatest battlefields we will ever have. And the Bible talks about it all the time. Book of Psalms, that even we want our meditations, our thoughts to be acceptable. And the 2 Corinthians, it talks about in chapter number 10, how we can capture every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ and how we can pull down strongholds. So while we're thinking about stewarding our thoughts, I like to think about these different things. And I think this is an important key, especially when we come into a week that is probably extremely busy for some, if not most. And when we are focused and worried about so many things, we forget to focus on the most important thing. So first thing I want you to think about, and it says, think with praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The command to rejoice is not rooted in circumstances. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord. It's not rooted in our circumstances. It's rooted in the infinite goodness of the Lord. We have a limitless supply of reasons for praise in the person of Jesus Christ. When we focus our hearts on him, we have a perfect and unchanging object of praise. If we will, he says, I know sometimes we look at this and we wonder, how in the world can we rejoice always? It's because we're rejoicing in the Lord. We're not rejoicing in our circumstances. We're rejoicing in the fact that who God is and that we know God and we understand God. On Wednesday night, we talked about that psalm where it says four different times in a chapter, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." If we would learn to praise the Lord, it says that we will then begin to understand his loving kindness. We will then continue to extol. If we truly want to steward our thoughts must begin with praise. Deuteronomy 10:21 says it this way, "He is thy praise and he is thy God, and hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." Most of us do rejoice at certain times. Most of us rejoice when we get a raise or rejoice in maybe a new friendship or when we get something that we wanted. But the question is, what does it mean to rejoice always? A.W. Tozer put it this way, What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing we think about. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us also. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God and how we view him. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at a given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. Who is God to you? And that's what Paul is saying here. Rejoice in the Lord. If we make much of God, and the deeper our relationship is with God, the fuller understanding we have of God, the more we will rejoice in him. The more you know him, the more you're going to love him. The more you understand him. That's when it was talking about in Psalms 107 this past Wednesday night. You know, some people are like, okay, give thanks unto the Lord and blah, blah, blah. All that men would learn to praise the Lord. And it showed the people that God can help and how God can make a difference. And it comes in the end. If you praise him and if you thank him, you're going to understand him better. Why is that? Because when you're praising him, you're thinking on him. And as you're thinking on him, what are you doing then? You're learning about him and you're understanding him. You say, oh, what is my opportunity to praise? When am I supposed to praise? And that one word over there, rejoice in the Lord, always. That word always is what kind of gets us sometimes. I don't think any of us have a problem saying God is good or singing God is good. But that word always talks about even on our worst days. Talks about even when we have bad news. Talks about when your car won't start. Talks about when things get frustrating and pretty much you lose your patience. You ever been there? I know I have. Even when you get a bad report from the doctor, even worse when a family member gets a bad report from your doctor, when financial things are struggling. And you think about it back, and we go back to that first century stress. You think about the apostles when they were sent to before the council, and they got beaten because of the cause of Christ. And as they got beaten, what did they do? They left that place worshiping that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Were they excited at the fact that they got hit? No. Did it not hurt? I'm sure it did. They were human. As the stripes hit them, as they got beaten, it would have hurt, but they were rejoicing because they knew God and they believed in God. And if we steward our thoughts, we're going to have no problem with thinking with praise. If we truly want to be thinking on the right things, it's got to be with praise. I don't know about you, but when I think about the apostles, they had such a high view of God that they could rejoice when they didn't have much. They could rejoice when problems were going wrong. To me, that's convicting. You think about the psalmist when he who experienced a lot of different things was able still to say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song will I praise him. Rejoicing in the Lord not only is the right thing to do, rejoicing in the Lord is also something that would help you. A doctor once said, anxiety and laughter cannot coexist. Anxiety and laughter cannot coexist. So when we choose to rejoice, we are choosing God's plan to help relieve our stress. When we think about him, we praise him, we're stewarding our thoughts. You know what? God is better than anything I'm going through. Next thing I want you to think about is verse number 5. We see in verse number 5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I think Think with poise. This idea of moderation, that we are moderate in how we think because we know that the Lord is always with us. Now, there's two different thoughts about that Lord is at hand. I've read commentators from both. Some believe that it's talking about that verse in Hebrews chapter number 13 throughout all the scriptures where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that, you know, God is right here with us. Some believe that, you know, no matter what happens, the Lord is at hand means that his coming could come back at any second or any moment. You know what? Doesn't matter what they do to me. Jesus is coming back. But if we will learn to steward our thoughts first with praise, but then also with poise. If it wasn't hard enough to think that we are supposed to think with praise all the time, and most of us are just not wired that way. When I get up in the morning, I don't jump out of bed and say, how am I going to praise the Lord? It's something that takes time and energy and a thought process of redirecting my thoughts and praying. But if it was just that we should praise him, that would be hard enough. But what we have is a devil out there who is our opponent. We have a devil out there that wants to try to make you constantly think about the wrong things. As we talked about a couple weeks ago about our time, how the devil will use things just to eat up your time so you cannot do the things that God wants you to do. The devil will do whatever he can to plant thoughts in your minds. He will accuse you. He will belittle you. He will suggest things such as that you're a loser. He will make negative things and negative thoughts. What does it say in Revelation 12:10? He is the accuser of the brethren. The devil makes it his business to steal away our joy and to magnify our stress. Satan wishes to destroy our faith through suffering, and God desires to refine our faith through suffering. So the devil's going to do whatever he can to get you to be worried. The devil's going to do whatever he can to get you fearful. The devil's going to do whatever he can. He's going to say things to you. He's going to whisper things to you. So what is the answer to the bombarding lies of Satan? It's to think with moderation. To think with poise. You ever known somebody who seems like they don't get ruffled? Someone who always has a sweet disposition? That is not me. It's definitely not me at home. You know, at home, it's got to be a certain way. It's got to be, but there's a way to think with poise or with moderation. Most of us are never really truly content on just God alone. We worry about our accomplishments. We worry about others' perceptions of us. Our minds become consumed with the condemning lies of Satan and the anxiety of our own insecurity. I know that there's been people in my life I feel like I never say the right thing in front of. And the devil's really good at that. Think of somebody a number of years ago, and I was talking, it doesn't matter. It could seem like the wrong thing came out around that person. You know what? The devil was the one that made me worry and think about that and wanted to hinder that relationship. The devil would love to get into your relationships inside your church family and destroy your relationships. He would love for you to bring anxiety and worry and fear to your life, because when you're thinking about anxiety, worry, and fear, you're not thinking about him. You say, well, how do I fix it then? Well, here's a couple things to think about. Rest in his security. You say, what do you mean his security? The Lord is at hand. You think about it. If he is with you, then everything that's happening, he's able to control. And that also talks about a sovereignty too. What does it say in the book of Psalms? Be still and know that I am God. As we spend time in his presence, his peace will seep into our souls as he wraps us in his secure confidence that he is on our side. Waiting on God is hard, but it will calm our spirits. It will help us gain the right perspective of our circumstances. It helps us remember that the Bible says that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, the Bible even says after that verse, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In our frantic schedules, it comes to the time where we begin worshiping other things. It's sort of like Christmas. You know, so many times people have taken the true worship and meaning of Christmas, and they begin worshiping, and it could be a multitude of different things. The devil has taken Christmas and made it, hey, look, it's about Santa, or it's about decorations, or it's about family, or it's even can become about church things. Hey, we got to put this, it's got to be about him. And we can rest secure that he is our help, and we can help him. But when we are driven by trying to accomplish things, we fear rest. When we are driven by not wasting time, we begin thinking all the time, I can't waste any time. When we are driven by success and we are driven, our soul needs to focus on him and on things that really, truly matter. A person that can become so involved in so many different things can become so goal-oriented that they forget to be God-oriented. One man wrote it this way: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. He speaks to us when things go well. I know there are times when God works things out and God has spoken to me when things are going great, when things are going wonderful. But many times it's when it's difficult times that brings me to this remembering, you know, he's the one that's my security. He brings that out, and he speaks, he raises his voice and said, I'm here to take care of you. You think about the resting in his sovereignty. Job was a man who knew a level of pain that very few of us will ever experience. You read about him and you see all those different things that happened to him, and you wonder, why didn't he just listen to what his wife said and just die? But that verse has become familiar. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That verse is special, not the idea of coming forth as gold, but he knoweth the way I take. God sees everything you're going through. And if God is sovereign, and if God is good, and you say, Pastor, what does this have to do with my thinking? Everything. If we can think, you know what, he's with me, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to do what's good because I know he's with me, I'm thinking with poise. I'm not going to let worry come into my life. I'm not going to let a relationship come to the point where it not only breaks my fellowship with that person, but all I'm thinking about is that problem, and I'm not focusing on God. I need to remember that he is my helper. He is my there. He's there for me in my time of need, and he's secure, and he's in control of it all. I need to be thinking about with poise, and I need to be thinking, okay, I'm not going to let this rattle me. I'm not going to let this stop me from serving. When our thoughts are flooded with confusion and trials are mounting, remember that that God walks through the trial with you. Find poise in God's sovereignty will help us understand that the peace of God is the foundation that God wants us to live our lives. One preacher put it this way, your state of mind determines whether the doctrines of God's sovereignty comforts you or threatens you. You say, what do you mean? Well, God's sovereignty of always being there, and the fact that he is God is good and God is loving, it can comfort your soul. But when you begin to question God, you begin to question God's goodness and begin to question God's comforting of your soul, you'll miss his security that's found in sovereignty. If you believe in him and you believe he's good, then you'll see every situation that happens as a divine appointment that God is going to help us learn from and help us grow from. And I believe he's God, and I know he's at hand, and I know that he's walking through this with me, and I know I can trust in him, and I know God can change my circumstances just like that. You know, we complain often about little things, but you go back to that first century church, and the people he's writing this to, they had to believe in the security of God. They had to believe in the sovereignty of God. They had to trust in those things. They had to think with poise. And sometimes when something happens, sometimes people get like, what are we going to do? This happened. Everything, the world's going to fall apart, and everything gets emotional. You know, we need to learn to think with poise. Does that mean we just let bad things happen, or we just ignore everything that bad that happens? No, that's stupid. But it does say that we remember when comes that we can rest in his security, that he's there with us. And we can rest in his sovereignty, that God is in control of all things. Let's keep on going. We got a lot that we want to cover. Next one is think with prayer. Thinking with prayer. The poise that God desires for us to possess is not the result of stuffing our emotions away. I don't think that God expects us to pretend that life doesn't bother us. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. You see different times in the Bible where people are going through hardships. Satan says, well, they need to have joy all the time. And we're rejoicing in the Lord. But think about it. Neither is it a calm manifestation of a tight-lipped, clenched-jawed resolve. I got to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. But instead, God doesn't ask us to ignore the cries of an overwrought, heavily burdened souls. He simply asks us to bring those burdens and stresses to him. Look what it says in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here you see three words that describe talking to God. You have prayer, which in a sense is a generic term of addressing God. You have supplications, which means with persistence and urgency in prayer. And then you also have prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Here it talks about rejoicing with him. And I want you to, and it says request is when we're asking for things. God wants us to bring our needs to him. He says he wants us to have requests without worry. You know, God specifically commands us to be careful for nothing. If we weren't careful with that, if we didn't see that in the Bible, because worry is so often in part of our lives, we wouldn't believe that God didn't mind. We would think how much we worry and how much we go through, God doesn't care if I worry a little bit. But when it says be not careful, it says be careful for nothing. That word careful, simply if you switch it around, it means that you're full of care. And that word nothing means that there should be nothing that we're full of care about. And it means not even one thing. God is commanding us not to worry. But how many of us really truly live that way? It's an illusion to think that we cannot live without worry, people think. But the Bible says we can turn every problem into a prayer. The Bible says that we should bring everything to him when he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. David, a man after God's own heart, wrote, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There were times when David faced fear, but rather than wasting his energy and condemning himself for his fear, he instead said, the times that I am afraid, I'm going to trust in it. Fear is going to come into our lives at times. It's whether or not we focus on that fear. Sensing fear is an indication that we're human. The sin is when we don't purposely trust God with the fear. So God gives us the cure to worry when he says, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, go ahead and give it to them. Sometimes when you have a lot to do and you have different things, you know, in our family, we try to do a lot of different things. And if I give something to my wife, I don't have to worry about it anymore. She's going to do it. And so it's like, okay, can I give this to you and not have to worry about it anymore? And so what I've done is I've given it to her, a job or a responsibility. And, you know, she's not only my wife, but she's also my secretary. And, you know, so there's a lot of things I say, I want you to take care of this. If I spend all the time worrying about it, I might as well have done it myself. And the key is the things that we're worrying about, we can't fix. So God is saying, hey, let your requests be made known unto me. He says, I want you to give me these requests. I want you to give them over to me. And then I want you to let me take care of it. Now, does it mean we never pray about it again? No, we cast our cares. As the devil keeps on bringing up the thoughts, we cast those cares upon it. As we're even reminded by the Holy Spirit of God to pray for things and continually pray for things. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So here, let's pray without worry. But also the Bible says, request with thanksgiving. I like this little phrase down here. Worry corrodes our faith. Gratitude strengthens it. Worry corrodes our faith. Gratitude strengthens it. He says, hey, I want you to make your request. I don't want you to live a life of fear. I don't want you to live a life under stress. I don't want to live a life under worry. Focus on the right things. First of all, with praise, and then also with poise, but also with prayer. Our needs change, our emotions fluctuate, but God is still, as it says in the Bible, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Gratitude never comes from avoiding difficulty, but from finding our truth through it. Regardless of the gravity of your needs, learn to bring every request to the Lord. That's when he tells you, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Think of the next one. Not only is it think with poise and think with praise and with prayer, think with peace. And it says in verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what are you thinking about this coming Christmas season? What do you think about in your life? I know there are so many of us, man, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. And I'm not saying that we should not be efficient and make sure things are taken care of. But worrying and having anxiety and stress about things stops you from focusing on the things that God wants you to focus on. Look what it says here in Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. So who's going to be the one kept in perfect peace? The one whose mind is stayed on God. And like I said, there's so much anxiety and worry and fearfulness. I don't know that we miss it. People miss sleep. People miss their health. One doctor said that the worst thing that an individual can have for themselves, their lives and their body physically is stress and worry. Many times bitterness and anger will cause very bad health problems. And it's important to remember that we should think with peace. In the midst of our chaos, God extends us peace. It's the most needful commodity for our circumstances. We usually think our need is a change of circumstances, a change of relationships, a change of emergencies. But God says, I have peace for you. Even when we think about those verses, I think it's in Isaiah that he's called the Prince of Peace. And I know that it's talking about in the future. But here in the Word, it says that we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Verse number 9, it says at the end, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the God of peace can give you a peace during this time of year. God, the God of peace can give you a peace that passeth all understanding any time of year. How do we do that? We think with praise. We think with poise. We think with prayer. But we also think about with, we think with peace. When we keep our minds fixed on Christ, his peace comes over our soul and steadies our emotions. He's the guardian. That's what it says here in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. And that idea there is it's kept. And the idea of keeping is a military term. He can keep. What can he keep? He says, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, Pastor, there's no way I can live my life without worry, without stress, without fear. There's no way I can steward my thoughts into the thinking of the things that God wants me to. And he's saying to you, I can give you a peace that passeth all understanding, even your own understanding in your life, if you will allow me to, if you give it over to me and you leave it with me. The problem is we give things over to God and we go over and say, God, I want you to help. I want you to do this. I want you to fix it. And then we go over and we pick it up and try to do it ourselves. And he's saying, hey, bring your request to me. Think with poise, but think with prayer, but think with peace. Now, there's a difference between peace with God and peace of God. You go to Romans, I believe it's in chapter number 5. It talks about how we can have peace with God. It's talking about our eternal salvation. It's talking about how we're saved in our way to heaven, that we were enemies with God and we were at odds with God. And then Christ came and he died for us and he gave us a way. He tasted death for every man that we learned about last week. And we can have an opportunity to have peace with God. Yes, I have peace with God, you say. But do you have the peace of God in your life? Pastor, I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about many of those times we cannot do and help anything that we worry about. But we can focus on rejoicing in him. We can focus on thinking the right things and thinking properly because the Lord is hand. We can think with prayer, and we can give things over to him. And God says he will give us peace. I wonder how many of us really have peace in our lives today. Last but not least is think with purity. It's a choice. Look what it says in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and he says that final phrase, think on these things. You know, sometimes I read this and I consider my own thought life and I'm thinking, man, I'm far from this. How in the world do I get there? Well, it begins with the rejoicing. It continues with staying focused because we understand the Lord is at hand. We can rejoice in the Lord always. Then it continues when problems come, I can give it over to prayer and then God's going to give me the peace. But now how am I going to keep that going? How am I? Is we're going to be thinking on the right things. If we really truly want to steward our thoughts and rebuild our thinking process, our minds are refreshed and renewed by the scriptures and they should be done daily. The only way to remain protected from the continual assault and of anxiety and stress to remain on the victorious side is to think properly going forward. We may not be able to control some of our external pressures and their stresses in our life, but we can choose what things we allow to hold our attention and those things we think about. God provides us with clear boundaries. He talks about things that are true. He talks about things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are of a good report. How do we do these? How do we develop this pattern factors? It says, think on these things. These are the things we should focus on. These are the things we should concentrate on. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Too often we become captives of our own thoughts. Too often we become captives of our own misery. But he's saying here, if we will filter our thought lives through these things, then we can have victory. So how do we end? What is it we're trying to accomplish today? To recognize there is a devil out there, and he is real, and he wants to destroy your lives. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. He wants to eat up all your time so you can't do anything for God. I think all of us would say, you know what? That's me. Whether you work 10 hours a week, 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week, 50 hours, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, however many hours you work a week, you know, we always seem busy. I have sometimes people who say that when they get retired, they had more times when they worked than they did when they retired, because they just, everything is so filled up with things. So that's, the devil's going to try to eat away at your time with sometimes frivolous things so you don't have the time to do what God wants you to do. Now let's use that same, and I think we could all be, and that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Now let's bring that to our thoughts. The devil is going to try to bring things in your life and whisper lies into your life and say things like, God doesn't care. God wants you to handle this. God does, and he's going to bring anxiety. He's going to be worried. And he's going to bring stress and fear into your life so you can't think on the right things. What we need to do is steward those thoughts. We need to focus on, hey, I need to be rejoicing. I need to remember my thought process is not based off of what I can do or what I need to do, but it's poised with the thought that the Lord is at hand. And I need to also bring everything over to the prayer and give that over to God and let the peace of God, which passes even my understanding, help me as I go and think on the right things. I don't know about you, but I know that Christmas time can be something that is very challenging in a lot of areas. This morning's message is going to be a little different when we're talking about making the most of Christmas, because there's different things that we miss on. And one of the things we miss on is worry. How many of us are worried about so much? Sort of like Martha. You know, as she was cumbered about, she was worried about so many things, she missed out on what Mary was having. And at Christmas times, we become worried, what about this gift, and what about dinner, and what about this and that? Once again, we shouldn't do things halfway, but at the same times, we shouldn't let things have worry and stress in our lives. We should be careful. And we should think on these things. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I know you helped me this morning and this past week while studying for this lesson. I know in my own life, I must confess that I allow worry, because there's so many different things that you've entrusted me with. I've allowed worry to eat up my time to the point that I don't get to think on you like I want to, or like you want me to. Lord, help me to think with praise. Help me to rejoice in you. No matter what the circumstances, I can always rejoice in you. Thank you for that example of the church of Philippi, even the disciples, how they were beaten and they should still rejoice and praise you. Lord, help us to think with poise.